Isaiah 12 speaks about drawing waters, water out of the wells of well of God's salvation. And it's constantly drawing water out of God's well of salvation that's going to make us like the myrtle tree, and like the olive tree, and like the palm tree. That's our nourishment. So the olive, the palm tree is well rooted, well grounded. It's first mentioned in Exodus chapter number 15. You remember how they came out to a place called Marah, and the waters were bitter. And Moses cast the tree in the bitter waters, and they became sweet. Then they went on to a place called Elim, where there were 12 wells of water. And I'm not sure how many palm trees, but a lot of palm trees. But the palm tree was there. That's the first mention of it. And 12 wells were there. And God has a well of salvation that we should be drinking of constantly, a fountain we should be drinking of constantly. And that's going to get us well rooted, so that when the winds that are blowing about today, especially the winds of false doctrine, is blowing about like they never blew before, that we can be strong and stable. And that's another characteristic of the palm tree. It's very straight. You don't see too many crooks in the palm tree. They're very, very straight. And they grow very tall, very stately, very tall, very, very, very rigid. That's the palm tree. We should be like that palm tree. We should grow, shall flourish, which means to grow and flourish and be beauty and upright like the palm tree. They grow very tall, and they're very round, some of them. But they grow very, very tall. Another thing about the palm tree, you can't graft. You can graft most trees, but I understand you can't graft a palm tree. It's all palm tree, nothing else. There's no grafts. Tall and upright. That's the way the Christian should be. Steady and stable. Whether the wind is blowing or whether it isn't. They're tall and stately, growing, flourishing, beautiful, like the palm tree. You'll notice when the Lord rode into Jerusalem, what did they use? Palm branches to celebrate the coming of the king into the city of Jerusalem. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verse 9, we can read about a great multitude to come out of the great tribulation. What do they have? Palm branches. The palm speaks of victory. The palm trees. We should be, men should see us like a palm tree walking. There should be a fragrance about us. There should be something spiritual about us, like the olive tree. And there should be something strong and straight and upright, like the palm tree. Now, very quickly, look in the book of Kings, chapter number 4. At another tree. 1 Kings chapter 4. This is in connection with the reign of Solomon. And verse 25. This is a little summary of the rule of Solomon for 4 years. In 1 Kings 4 and 25, and Judah and Israel shall dwell safely, every man under his vine, under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Now, Solomon reigned for 40 years, and the characteristics of his reign was peace and prosperity. There were no wars, and it was very prosperous. Although he taxed the people very heavily, there was still prosperity all the days of Solomon. So, the fig tree then speaks of prosperity and peace. There's coming a time when Israel will sit down, every man under his fig tree, and there'll be peace and prosperity. The fig tree is a picture of Israel. The Lord, there's three fig trees. The fig tree is in the life of the Lord Jesus three times. We read about it in Luke chapter 13, how that he came to a fig tree 3 years and looked for fruit on that tree. There was none. That's Israel in the days of Christ. No fruit. Now you remember how he went, I think it's Matthew 21, how he went out to Bethany and there was a fig tree on the way, and he cursed the fig tree, came back in the morning and it withered up by the roots, and the disciples saw it, and that's Israel for the last 2,000 years, withered up by the roots. Then in Matthew 24, we read in verse 32 about when the fig tree buds. Then you know your redemption is nigh. Israel started to bud like a fig tree in 1948. She's very much back in blossom right now. So the fig tree speaks of that, of something that's peaceful and prosperous in the Lord. So we should be walking like a myrtle tree. We should be walking like an olive tree. Men should see us walking like the palm tree. They should see us like the fig tree. But the last tree, I intended to spend a little more time on the last one, in the Song of Solomon chapter 2. By the way, the greatest love story in the Bible, of course, is the love of God for us. What's the next greatest love story in the Bible? It has to be our love for the Lord, doesn't it? If that's the greatest love story in the Bible, then the next one must be our love for the Lord. And there's no book, in my knowledge, in the Bible, that sets forth the love of the Christian for the Lord like the Song of Solomon. It's a book that's criticized. Bible critics says it shouldn't be in there. It's just one of Solomon's sexy love songs. But that's how you look at it. If you look at it that way, you can look at any portion of Scripture and see it in that way. The Song of Solomon is one of the most spiritual books I believe there is in the Bible. Spurgeon said he read this book every month. He always read the book, The Song of Solomon. The Jews say that the Song of Solomon is like going in the holiest place of all, the Holy of Holies, they call it. You'll see some phrases in the Bible like the King of Kings. That means whoever that king is a special king among the kings. Lord of Lords, that's a special Lord among all the rest of the Lords. The Holy of Holies. This book starts out the Song of Songs. Solomon wrote 1,005 songs according to the Book of Kings. This was the song of all the rest of the songs. Now, I could spend the next hour on the Song of Solomon and still leave a lot unsaid. Generally speaking, this song is thought that Solomon represents Christ. And this little Shulamite girl represents a church. And they get married. Well, I would challenge anybody to find out in this book where Solomon ever married that girl. Or where Solomon in this book was ever a picture of Christ. I want to give you 6 reasons why Solomon isn't a picture of Christ. To this book, the word beloved is in the masculine. And the word love, my love, is in the feminine. In other words, my beloved is the male. My love is the female. The beloved in this book of 8 chapters is a shepherd boy. You got that in chapter 1 and verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest anew. Solomon was never a shepherd. He was the most famous man in the world when he wrote this. He'd be far below the dignity of Solomon to ever be a shepherd. He was a king sitting on a throne the king, ruling pretty well the whole world, taxing the whole world. The Queen of Sheba came and said, the half's not been told. Nothing at all about Solomon the devil would indicate he was a shepherd. She's looking for a shepherd, waiting for a shepherd boy to come get her. And there's only one shepherd in the Bible. That's the Lord Jesus. This shepherd boy never seems to come get this little girl. But she's waiting for him, longing for him, waiting for him to come. One reason this Solomon is not a picture of Christ, she's looking for a shepherd boy, and Solomon was not a shepherd boy. He was not a shepherd. Secondly, Solomon wrote three books. The book of Proverbs in his early days, which is wisdom personified. The book of Ecclesiastes, when he was an old man, looking back over life, everything under the sun, all vanity and vexation of spirit. The Song of Solomon he wrote when he was halfway away from the Lord. If you look in chapter number 6 and verse number 8, he has 60 queens and 80 concubines, 140 wives already. He's getting away from the Lord. He was a very immoral man. That was his downfall. He became an idolater. How unlike Christ, the one who was undefiled, separate from sinners, without sin, knew no sin, did no sin. Solomon is a poor picture of Christ. He wasn't a shepherd like the Lord Jesus. And he wasn't moral, sinless like the Lord Jesus. Number three, his affluence at that time. He was a very rich man. I remember Brother Boyd one time preaching about Solomon and said, his salary would be in the area of $20 million in our funds for 1 year, plus taxes. How unlike the one who owned nothing but the clothes on his back. The one who said the foxes have holes and the birds have a nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What is there about Solomon that represents the Lord Jesus? And most certainly wasn't his affluence, or his morality, or the fact that he was a shepherd. This girl is looking for a shepherd. Now, you can read this book of 8 chapters, and you try to find out where Solomon ever married this girl. He never married her. He never did get this girl. She wasn't interested in him. She just wanted no part of him. She said, I am my beloved's and he is mine. I'm not available. And there's no indication. In fact, the book ends like the book of Revelation. The last verse in the book of Solomon is saying in the same language, even so, come Lord Jesus. It says, make haste, my beloved. She's talking, the girl, to her absent lover. Make haste, my beloved. Be thou like to a roe or a young hart upon the mountain of spices. She's waiting for him to come take her away. There are three characteristics of this girl. Her love for that shepherd boy she'd met, her loyalty to him, and her longing for him to come. That should be the characteristic of a Christian. Our love for our absent shepherd, our loyalty to him, and our longing for him to come and take us away. And you read this book in that light, and you're going to find it's a very spiritual book. A very spiritual book. In chapter 5, and I'm going to get to the 3 after a while. I haven't left that altogether. Chapter 3, she has a dream. She's dreaming much in this book because she's lovesick. You'll find that in chapter 2 and verse 5. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. In chapter 3, she's dreaming, and what we would call having a nightmare. In verse 1, by night on my bed I sat. In fact, the word nights in the plural, it means by nights on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. And she imagines or dreams that she goes out in the street to try to find her absent lover. Now, I doubt if she'd look for Solomon out on the street. She knew where Solomon was. He'd be in his palace. She wasn't looking for Solomon. She was looking for her absent shepherd boy that she'd met under an apple tree. Okay, that's another reason. So, in this book, then, you will not find anywhere that Solomon ever wins this girl to himself. Now, with that in view, look in chapter 2. And we're going to see the fifth tree that we should be like. It's the apple tree in verse number 3. In verse 1, she says, I am the rose of Sharon. Now, we know the songwriter has that the other way around, and the lily of the valley. This is the female that's talking here. Solomon is trying to win her. And she says, I am the rose of Sharon, just a little crocus in the wilderness. I am the lily of the valleys, just one lily of all the lilies of the valley. He says to her, Solomon, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Says, yeah, you're just a lily, but put a lily among all the rest of the lilies, just another lily, but put a lily among the thorns, and it stands out. Then she describes her lover. She said, my lover is like an apple tree among the trees of the wood. Now, you'll never find an apple tree. It's not a native of the woods. If you find one there, you'll find an old foundation or something there where there was a house, and somebody planted that tree. The Lord Jesus is like an apple tree. He never grew in this world and came in this world like we did. He was planted here, divinely planted here. She says, so is my beloved among the sons. She's describing her lover here. Says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. You can't get any nearer anybody than their shadow. That's as close as you can get. Sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Now this is what's going to make us like a tree walking. To spend time under the shadow of God's apple tree, the person of Christ. The apple tree is mentioned again in chapter 8. Seems to be the place where she was born. The place where she was raised, in chapter 8, and verse 5. At least it can be applied that way. In the middle of that verse, I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth to bear thee. Putting that together like this, we're born under God's apple tree, the cross, and Christ. That's the place of birth. I raised thee up under the apple tree. That's the place of growth. We should never leave the cross of Christ. When you leave the cross of Christ, you get away from the Lord. Because God doesn't have anything for us apart from the gospel. He has all we need in the gospel. So she was born under the apple tree, she was raised up under the apple tree, but she said that's where she was sitting. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me into the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. So here she is sitting under God's apple tree. Now when we sit under God's apple tree, and spend time under God's apple tree, what's it going to do for us? I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll take the ashes out of our life, and we'll have beauty instead. It'll take the mourning out of our life, we'll have the oil of joy instead. It'll take the spirit of heaviness out of our life, and we'll have a garment of praise instead. That we might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's what it means to be as a tree walking. May the Lord help us to be men, to see us as trees walking. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the one that ever walked before Thee in all the beauty of His person, never pleased Thee in all of His ways. We ever pray that we might be able to reflect to Thee that fragrance and that glory and that beauty in our own lives to Thee, and that it might grow to others all around us, those people that we meet every day. We pray that we might be a burning and a shining light to them, that we might be as others who are told to be lights in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, holding forth the word of life. So we ask Thy blessing upon each of us, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.